Welcome to the Love and Life After Divorce podcast. I'm so happy to have you here. On this podcast, you will feel empowered to release the feelings of shame, trauma, isolation, and sense of loss that can often come from a difficult marriage, painful breakup, and divorce. You will be given the insights and inspiration you need to love yourself fiercely, be sure of your worthiness, and to handle the challenges of post-divorce life with strength and humor. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love and Life After Divorce podcast. I'm Tiffany Kane, your host, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here today with one of my personal mentors, somebody who has made an absolute huge difference in my life, the wonderful Ashley Stahl. You probably know Ashley as the author of the U-Turn book. She also has a podcast by the same name, U-Turn, which I highly recommend you listen to. And she has a media company called Cake Publishing. So Ashley is somebody who does so many of the things, and really she's dedicated her life to helping people find their thing. And Ashley, I'm just absolutely thrilled to have you here today. Thank you so much. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. That was one of the best intros. You described what I do at Cake Publishing better than I do. I never called it a media company, but it totally is. So thank you for teaching me how to talk about myself today. It's so nice to meet you and be here.
Thank you. So listeners, I just have to tell you a little bit of my background with Ashley. Her book, U-Turn, is this fabulous book with a bright yellow cover. And I found her because she interviewed Sammy Wunder, who was my relationship coach. And I loved the way she interviewed Sammy. And I said, oh, I need to listen to this lady. She's amazing. I need to buy her book. Bought her book and fell in love with it and told my book club, we need to read this book. We really need to study it. And it just, we constantly refer back to your U-Turn book in almost every conversation we have now. We're always referring back, whether it's the money section or it's the finding a little, what little shifts can you make to find your purpose? And it's just one of those books that truly changed our life. And so I'm beyond thrilled to have you here today. Will you tell us a little bit about your U-turn and what brought you to have this be your purpose in life?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't come out of the womb thinking I would write books and be a career expert of any sort. I grew up in a house where, you know, my family got together every Sunday, and I really watched a lot of politics with my dad, and I had siblings. I had a sister who was mentally ill, and being around her really softened me. And I always had a lot to say, but I didn't really know who to say it to, because I think a lot of family structures don't really necessarily have an environment where it feels safe to share everything you think or feel. And that's okay. That's just all part of what we grow up with. And so in my case, you know, I had a mentally ill sister, and I wanted to talk about her, and I didn't know who to turn to. And my parents were very stressed, you know, that she was in the state that she was in. And I think that I turned to writing as a way to make sense of my world. And when I was 11, I got a poetry award, and I remember getting a book in the mail with my poem in it. I think from there on out, I just love poetry, and I would read Shel Silverstein on the hammock. I would read, you know, Stephen Chbosky, Perks of Being a Wallflower. I just read and read and read. I loved reading as a kid. And I got lost in stories, and they helped me process my own life. And it was at a pretty young age where I would say, before I was a teenager, I knew I wanted to write a book someday. I even knew it as a kid, you know, because I loved reading as a kid. And here I am, you know, decades later. I've worked in national security. And the reason I chose that path was because I think there's a protector in me, and I think that very much so was the case with my sister. Like, and even with my little brother. My little brother was a slower learner than I was, and he had to go into a slow learning track. Now he's like a quicker learner than I am, and completely not even in that chapter of his being anymore. But when we were kids, I was really quick and he was really slow learner and he had to go into special classes. And I remember, like, if anyone was going to mess with my brother, if anyone was going to mess with my sister, I was like there to defend and use my words to like get them away. Mm-hmm. And so I think the protector in me wanted to work in national security and protect people. And when I got there, I realized, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm way too sensitive for that. And so here I am years later, taking everything I've learned to figure myself out and helping other people figure themselves out too. And I don't really see myself as a guru or an expert. I really see myself as someone who's like in deep study of my own soul, of myself, and committed to being honest and vulnerable with myself and with the world so that other people can experience whatever healing is available through that too. And that's what brought me here in this work.
It really comes through in your work that you are a lifelong student and a studier. You are somebody who is constantly trying to learn, which makes it really exciting to listen to your podcast, to read your writing, because we feel like we're on the learning journey with you and it feels good to be taken on that journey rather than having somebody kind of talk down at you and this is what you need to do. It's more of a, here's how I learned and here's who I learned from and let's learn this together. So it does definitely come through in what you do and makes the learning feel very approachable and doable. So thank you for that.
Thank you. You know, I think being vulnerable is kind of a choice that we make, you know, like you make it against, there's this point where you just decide how you want to live as a person and you tie it. Some people tie their vulnerability to someone else. They're not going to be the one that says, I love you first or that they're hurt first. And it depends on the relationship and the context. And then there's other people, and I think I'm one of them where I'm just choosing to live vulnerably. And it doesn't mean that I'm irresponsible with my heart or my mind or my choices. It just means that I'm honest and I'm willing to do the work on myself every time I feel rejected, every time I feel exposed, so that I can be a more full and free person.
That's so important. That's so important. We talked in my book club the other day as we were talking about you. We were talking about the importance of receiving whatever comes our way. And if it is a perceived rejection, and I'm using air quotes on that, it's really, okay, let's receive that as a lesson. What lesson can I learn from this? You know, if it's a promotion you didn't get, all right, there's a lesson to be learned from this. Is the lesson that this job wasn't the right fit for me, that this wasn't the right path for me to go on? Is the lesson that maybe there's some more learning I need to do? Is the lesson I need to maybe follow a different direction and pivot a little. So with that in mind, my audience are women that are either going through divorce or have been divorced. And I thought you would be the perfect guest to come on and talk about this rediscovering yourself, reclaiming yourself, finding your purpose after divorce. So a lot of women have maybe been homemakers and really dedicated their life to building the home. And now they're realizing, okay, I need to expand into moving into a more of a career. Or maybe they've been career women, but with the divorce, everything's shifted and changed. And they're thinking, maybe this career doesn't fit who I am anymore. What advice would you have for women in those situations?
Well, I mean, I don't know how this reference crosses over, but I volunteered in the prison system for a quick moment, and it was a high security prison. And there were men there for murder and ones that were there for attempted murder. And I remember the person who was there for attempted murder was doing a lot of work on himself so that he could rejoin society at some point. And he looked at the guy who was there for murder. And he said, the only difference between him and I is that my gun missed. Ugh. And it really makes me think, with divorce, I'm actually dating someone who's divorced. And it's been so enriching because he knows so much texture from that. I feel so much safer with him because of it. And I think the choice to take a relationship and turn it into a marriage. It's like the hardest no's in life are usually almost a yes.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And most people allow almost a yes to be a yes. And I think that's one of the most human things you could possibly do. So it kind of reminds me of the guy with the gun. It's like you chose to partner with someone and be vulnerable and put yourself into something and create a container. And there's no such thing as failure in that. There's so much growth. There's so much learning. And so for me, as the recipient of being with someone who has been divorced, I know that anyone listening, you have so much wisdom and so much understanding of what the institution of marriage is and what it isn't. And I think that we learn who we are through context. And so you probably learned a lot about who you are and who you're not through being in a union. And so instead of focusing on what you don't know, I would say just maybe take a look at what you do know. What did you learn from your relationship? What did you learn about yourself? What do you know to be true? Mm. Because more often than not, when we're making a change in our lives, we get stuck on what we don't know. And what we miss is that what we do know is enough to take that next step. And we don't need to see the whole painting to grab a brush and paint some strokes, you know, on the canvas. And so I think if you are looking at yourself saying, you know, who am I? I think that's a really good question. But sometimes an even better question is, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Because a lot of the times, who am I comes from, I don't know, just like who we've been told we are, who people think we are. And it can actually be quite a cage. And I think there's something really amazing about being able to say, who do I want to be in the world? And what do I know to be true about me today? And how do I need to show up to be this person that I want to be? Because we're constantly creating and iterating and choosing who we are. And there's nothing to me inspiring about just being someone without thinking about it. Intention is what directs your life, right? Where intention goes, energy flows. So I think having some intentionality and asking the question of who do you want to be is the start.
That's so powerful. And I really appreciate how you brought in your saying that a yes, you know, talking about the yes and the almost no and how a no is an almost yes. And that even just getting into a union with somebody and committing to that marriage, there's a lot to be learned from that. And also from saying this no longer serves me. And you're learning who you are throughout that process and continuing that, who do I want to be? And that is such a journey and so many pivots along that journey.
Yeah.
So along with that idea of who do I want to be, what are some questions we can ask ourselves that help us to get into that, who do I want to be, so that we can move down a career path? You know, you're a career coach. How does that, the types of questions we ask about who do we want to be, help us then move down a path of finding a career that fits with who we want to be?
I would say the first question, and we talk about this in my book, so you'll know, you know, just around core nature, is like, how does the room change when you walk in? And a lot of the time, it's hard to understand that answer without getting feedback from people that you feel like really get a sense of you. So I would, if I were in your shoes, start asking people around you, how does the room feel different when I walk in? What are you, what are some adjectives you would use to describe my presence in the room? I think that being able to collect that feedback from people who have been around you is really clutch. Further, I would say, who inspires me? I think there's so much wisdom and intelligence in noticing who inspires you, because usually they're pointing you in a direction of someone or something you want to be more of. And I think that's really really valuable to notice because people are constantly pointing you. Sometimes it's coming from, you know, as I say in my book, a wound where it's like, I want to be like the president, but really it's just like you want power so you feel worthy or validated or something. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times they have a quality or a way that they're living or something about them that really moves you. And it's important to notice that. I would also say, where am I gifted? Where are you gifted? And, you know, I used to think it was so cheesy when people would say, everybody has a special gift. I'd be like, maybe some people don't. Maybe some of us are just done, you know? But but now I realize, no, I think that everyone does have a special gift. And it's what life is really about is figuring out what that is. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Mark Twain that said, like, there's the two most important days of your life are when you're born and the day you find out why?
Yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So along those lines, I've got to tell you, one of the most powerful things that I did that you suggested in your book was to write down every day adjectives people use about you and start noticing what people say. And I did that probably for about 2 weeks straight, is I wrote down those adjectives every time somebody said, oh, the feedback you gave me really helped me to realize this, or you're such a good listener, or, you know, just kind of writing down. And that was really amazing for a couple of reasons. Number one, I started noticing the good things, right? Which is really nice. Noticing the little compliments people give you throughout the day that we tend to brush over or not quite hear or not quite take in, because there's so much negative talk all day long about ourselves and our shoulds and our, oh my gosh, must accomplish. And so when you take the time to listen, it feels good. And then you start noticing patterns. And that definitely helped me to notice patterns of, oh, these are the ways I'm affecting people. These are the things that just naturally happen that I'm good at. And it helped me start writing. It helped me pursue my coaching more, and it helped me start this podcast because I realized these were things that I'm good at and I enjoy. So it's an exercise that absolutely works and is fun. So yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I think what you're really doing is you're becoming your own observer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so hard, is that we're taught not to observe ourselves because we're too busy being domesticated and being told who we should be so that we are likable and that we are a fit in the world that we're in. You know, I think about my dog Jupiter. It's like I'm constantly training him with food and with treats to teach him what it means to be good and what it means to be bad. And, you know, we all learn that as human beings. And so it becomes really tough to notice what we want or what's natural for us. And that's what's so fun about kids. I think that's why I want to have them, is because they kind of like, they don't have that narrative in their head until they do. Mm-hmm. They're not really taught who to be until they are.
Right.
And so there's this like freedom that they've got to explore. There's this permission that they have to just say what they want to say. And sometimes it's technically quite offensive, but it's so funny because they're so free. And yes. I think it's through that energy of freedom that we really get to decide who we are. And so it takes a lot of undoing and unlearning and work to say, what are all these things that I've adopted as truths that really aren't? What's the rule book I've given myself? Who do I need to be? Or I once had a mentor, and I interviewed her on my podcast, Tatiana Ray. And I think the episode is called How to Set Yourself Free or something like that. And she talks about how we're all like Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head. And she talks about how like we put these little pieces on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like my Mrs. Potato Head is like, I love rap music and I love, you know, reading, and I love, it's all these characteristics that we adopt to be our identity. And it keeps us feeling safe to have one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just been a lot of work, and it's taken me over a decade, and I'm still in it, to really stay the course. And I think that's why I wrote U-Turn, because in order to really be who you are, you have to be constantly changing. Mm-hmm.
I think what you said about undoing and unlearning, I think we need to hover on that for a second, because so many times we're reading all of these books to learn, and what do I need to do, and what's my next step, and what's my next action, and who am I? But it's really that kind of deconstruction of, all right, let's unlearn all of these things.
Yeah.
Let's undo all of these things. Do you have any recommendations for good steps, good things we can do to unlearn and to really get at the core of who we are?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pain in the lies that we tell ourselves. So I would say the first thing is to notice, what thought do you think about yourself or about life or about people that hurt you the most and most often? What are you thinking that makes you feel stressed? What are you thinking that makes you feel sad? And starting to notice, what are you believing? And one thing I talk about in the book that I'm sure you saw quite a bit of was just around forgiving yourself for these beliefs. So I'm really big on, I'm constantly putting my hand over my heart and saying out loud, I forgive myself for buying into the belief that I caused this, or this thing is my fault. The truth is, this thing was going to happen with or without me. I'm not so powerful that I can cause this. So I think constantly reframing these lies that we've told ourselves is part of the work, and really understanding that a one-time pass at that isn't necessarily going to clear it out, that sometimes it's our life work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have life work, and it's not like we should buy into the belief that things are going to take forever, but it's important to know that you have to be kind to yourself. Things are going to keep coming up, and you're just going to keep doing your work and releasing them.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful. That's so powerful, because sometimes we're really hard on ourselves. We think, why haven't I learned this lesson yet? Or why haven't I figured out who I am yet? Or why do I keep getting caught in this trap, or this button keeps getting pushed? And really, to me, I always explain it as like you're on a continuum, and you can do all of the work, and then you're in a new situation. And it may just maybe reopen wounds or expose a side of you that hasn't necessarily been exposed before. And you have to relearn that part as well, because now you're in a new situation. Maybe it's with a new partner, or you're in a new place, or you're in a new job, or you have a new coworker, or your children are at a new phase in their life, and you're having to figure it out. So that's wonderful. All right. Before we move into our rapid fire questions, do you have any last words of advice that you would like to give women that are doing this unlearning and this undoing and figuring out who they are after divorce?
I don't know why, but it sounds so trite, but I would say just make sure that you're around people that make you feel safe and that make you feel yourself, because it's really hard to work on yourself when you are constantly choosing to be in conversation or connection with people who cause you pain. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of a client I had where she was in a big transformation, and she was living at home in the thick of all of the mindsets and conditionings that got her so stuck. And so she had to get out of it and stop marinating in it in order to transform it. And she got her own place. And because of that, she was able to have more love with her family, more love with the people in her life, because she was able to separate from them. So I would say sometimes, you know, personal transformation is a bit of a cocoon, and choose who you're in the cocoon with, choose who holds you, and don't judge yourself for needing space sometimes if this is what you're going through.
So you started saying you think that's trite, but honestly, I think that is some of the most powerful advice that anybody on this podcast has given, because who you surround yourself with is everything. Mm-hmm. And how you, your cocoon, your space, how you protect yourself and make that space for growth and transformation is absolutely vital. And in divorce, or in the end of a long-term relationship, you tend to lose some people. And sometimes that hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. But if we look at it in this way of who you surround yourself with is so important, and who's in your cocoon is so important, those people leaving your life gave you a gift, because they wouldn't have been a safe place for you anyway. So I do think that's incredibly powerful advice. No triteness at all in there.
Yeah. Everything has a season.
Yes, absolutely.
Good to know. Yeah, everything and everyone has a season, you know. Everything changes. That's the good and bad news, I guess, in life. So the more you can see what you got or what you needed or understand that everything is taking you where you need to go, the better.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to move into the fun part of our interview today, where we get to see maybe a little bit of a different side of you. So we love books in our community. I'm a big giant book nerd, and you obviously love books too. So this is going to be a fun question. What's a book that you're reading right now?
I'm reading Intuition by Osho.
Oh.
And it's the subtitle is Knowing Beyond Logic. So I just started watching the documentary on Netflix about him in a commune, and it's a little bit scary to watch, but I'm loving the book.
Tell us about the book a little bit.
It's just about defining what is the difference between instinct, which is what your body does. It knows to do all these little miracles like breathe. And instinct is deeper than intellect, because intellectually we can't make sure we breathe when mm-hmm. we're sleeping. If we're right. asleep, we're asleep. We can't ensure that that happens on an intellectual level. So he talks about instinct being a very physical experience. He talks about intellect and how that decision-making has kind of started to run our lives. And people who don't believe in the mystical believe that there's two realms. There's the known and the unknown. But he talks about three realms, which is the known, the unknown, and the unknowable, which is intuition. And, you know, he doesn't write about this. I'm just thinking, you know, there's a lot of documentation of animals who run away from the shore hours before a tsunami comes. So that's the unknowable. What is happening in their bodies that they know something is coming without it being in front of their face to prove itself. So I'm fascinated by intuition, and I've been traveling a lot, giving speeches about decision-making, because it's really just another way of making a U-turn is knowing yourself and intuition.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to Martha Beck this morning as I was getting ready for our interview, and she was talking about this intuition, and it's so powerful because you have to be really quiet. It goes back to your unlearning and undoing of to get into this, being able to hear the unknowable. You have to be quiet, and you have to let those shoulds go away and just, okay, What am I supposed to learn from this situation? What am I supposed to listen to right now? And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is to get there. So thank you. I'm going to have to grab that book. Okay. So they're making a movie of your life, Ashley, and you get to pick three songs for the soundtrack. What would they be?
I actually have on my Spotify a mix called the U-turn mix, because I thought about making a movie out of the book, and the book is about my life. So oddly, I've probably thought about this more than your regular guest.
I love it.
The first song would be called Eyes Closed and Traveling by Peter Broderick. It's just a beautiful song and it makes me feel a lot.
Oh.
And then another song would be Michigas, the band Michigas, and their song is called Moments. And then another one would be called Fly by Ludovico Einaudi, which is a pianist. Those three songs.
Those are great. Those are great. The first song, Eyes Closed and Traveling, sounds like that kind of an intuition type of song.
Yeah.
We're on this journey. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. Our last question. You are a person that takes risks. You are very open, and you share these risks that you take with the world on your podcast. But is there a risk you've taken recently that you're really glad that you've taken that maybe you haven't shared with anybody else?
I mean, moving to New York 2 months ago, I was on a business trip, and I just decided for some reason that it felt right here for me. And I was in a lot of transition as usual. And I feel like I'm in the right place. I feel like there's something about the city energy. It takes a certain type of person to want to move to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm supposed to be here. And I don't know if I'm supposed to spend my life as a New Yorker or if this is just a temporary period, but I feel a sense of home here. Especially in my place with the brick walls and the loud city sounds and a lot of inspiration here. And every single day I walk around in the street and I see something different. I was in Union Square at like 1 a.m. walking home from a dinner, and there was just a guy playing the guitar, and it was so beautiful. So I feel like I just love being somewhere where inspiration is everywhere.
You're just surrounded by life, all walks of life, all amazing iterations of life there in the middle of the city.
It's yeah.
Incredible.
I choose to be wherever I am surrounded with life.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Okay, so listeners, you have to find Ashley. Ashley, where can they find you?
Well, my book is everywhere books are sold. Amazon, I love hearing. And I do the narration on Audible myself. So if you are a listener, Audible is the spot. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram at Ashley Stahl. Like you said, I've got my podcast, the U-Turn podcast. It's Y-O-U, turn, two words. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you in the DMs. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you're thinking. I hope this episode helped you.
And I have to tell you, listeners, Ashley is very interactive with her community. One of the big reasons I connected with her, or one of the ways I connected with her and we got on this podcast together, is I took a picture of my book club reading her book and posted it and said, oh, we love this book, Ashley. And she reacted to that and reshared and kind of created a relationship, which felt really good. So you're very authentic and approachable and connected with your community, which feels good. It feels really good. So
thank you.
Listeners, definitely reach out. Let Ashley know what her book means to you. And if you do the actions and the exercises in the book, I do believe it will bring some clarity and some aha moments. I personally listened to it on Audible and read it, and I would listen to it and then come back and take notes. And I did a lot of the exercises, and I just found it to be very powerful, very life-changing. It's made a huge difference in my life. So thank you. It's made me ask really important questions about who I am and unlearning and undoing. So thank you for that, Ashley. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, I hope you have an absolutely beautiful day. Come over on DM. Let me know what you thought of this episode and reach out to Ashley. Let her know what her book means to you as well. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Love and Life After Divorce podcast. If anything resonated with you in the podcast, I would love to hear about it. Please DM me on my Instagram at Tiffany Kane. Also, if this podcast makes you think of a friend that could benefit from hearing this message of support and empowerment, please share it with her. And remember, this podcast is sponsored by the Love and Life After Divorce membership group. We would be so thrilled to have you join. Have a beautiful day, and remember, of course, it's all about you. #self-love.